Hi, you're listening to In Between Visits, and my name is Dr. Christy Lewis. I'm a naturopathic doctor who is in practice for well over a decade. After years of clinical practice and working with thousands of people, a basic truth has been revealed. Behavior modification, as simple as it is difficult to implement, hence the birth of this podcast. If we all know what to do, then why aren't we doing it? With these short and sweet shares, I'm going to answer your questions about how to stay on track with your goals, support, inspire, and motivate you on your journey, see you in your struggles, affirm you in the challenge, and reassure you that you are not alone. Let's get started. Hey guys, Dr. Christy and Dr. Rochelle, we're so happy that you're back for another episode of In Between Visits. Today, we're going to be chatting about PMS and what your PMS may be telling you. The list of PMS symptoms is quite long, and what's worse is that many of us have normalized the experience. Our quality of life is impacted, and some of us even shame ourselves for the reactions that we're having from these imbalances. So our mission is really to bring some awareness to that. In this episode, we're going to educate you. We want to offer some simple yet impactful ideas and really hope that you leave this episode feeling empowered. So let's get started. Dr. Rochelle, welcome back.
Yes, happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to be doing this. I feel like I say this every single time we connect, and hopefully everyone out there can really feel that authenticity and truth in what a pleasure it is to meet with you and have these discussions and then to be able to share it with everyone out there. So much gratitude for you and for this platform.
Thank you. I feel like we're the yin and yang and totally complete together. So
yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh. So today we decided we were going to like share a little bit about our thoughts around PMS. Hey,
so yeah. Common complaint.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the areas that I thought maybe we could start with is a little bit of a 101, because I don't know about you. And I'm a little bit embarrassed to admit this, but hey, I did not actually even realize that we had different cycles or different phases throughout the cycle until I was in our school, like in medical school, naturopathic college. I really, in health class, remember learning about the bleed, the dreaded bleed phase, the actual menses part of the cycle, but that was kind of it. And so I think really in order to get the most out of this conversation, I think it's important that we share with the audience sort of the four phases of the cycle. And I wanted to know if, did you want to share that?
Yeah, sure. Happy okay. to go over it. So yeah. Always the cycle starts with menstruation. So it's the day one of bleeding. That's when your progesterone hormone, it just plunges. And often people feel fairly low in energy, might be tired, a little bit withdrawn. And that's really common during menstruation. Mm-hmm. And then after about 7 days, you start something called the follicular phase. And that's where your body, your pituitary gland to be exact, releases follicular stimulating hormone, which stimulates your ovaries to produce an ovule inside the follicle. So your egg is being developed during that time. Often in the latter half of the follicular phase, you're going to get higher estrogen, testosterone will increase. And that's when libido starts to increase as well. You'll get more of clear cervical mucus starting to begin. And people feel really good. There's more energy. It's a nice time with the cycle. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you ovulate, and that's from an LH surge, luteinizing hormone. For anybody that's tried fertility, that's where those LH strips come in. Usually you will ovulate in 12 to 24 hours. Libido is very high during that time. And afterwards, you enter the luteal phase. So that's where progesterone starts to increase and retain your uterine lining. And that progesterone is actually a known anxiolytic, which means it helps with anxiety. So that's actually a nice time of the cycle as well. And sometimes people can have some hormonal imbalances and it's actually progesterone. So that's where Dr. Christie and I come in to help with that as well. And then during the latter of that luteal phase, that's when you start to get some of those PMS symptoms. So we're familiar, you can get some cramping, breakouts, breast tenderness, fatigue, bloating. Some people will get constipation or diarrhea, headaches, mood swings, those kind of things. So yeah, that's the cycle, the 101 on the cycle.
Oh my goodness, you're such an amazing teacher. I'm like taking notes. I mean, recognizing that, guess what, women, we cycle, and yet we sort of expect that everything's going to be the same, right? We expect that our appetite, our energy, our mood, our productivity is all going to be the same. And I think as I have learned more about this and implemented it in practice and seen it show up in my own health, it's like I really feel that it's also an awesome having this knowledge and then knowing how to support ourselves at different phases or times of the month is like our superpower, because we can really utilize, I know last time we spoke about motivation and we talked about the heart's desire and we talked about that, like not always being linear. And I think as cycling women, it's really important that even through the month, our motivation is going to change. And that is not you giving yourself a hard time. That's literally your natural rhythms of your body. Yet we live in this society and this baseline expectation that everything is supposed to be the same. And so, you know, that's definitely part of the healing. That's part of the moving towards decreasing PMS. I mean, having some abnormal sort of symptoms or discomforts in that latter half of the luteal phase right before we're about to bleed. But I think we've normalized a little bit of that as a society and sort of said, oh, well, I'm PMSing. And like you said, there might be subtle or not so subtle hormonal imbalances that are really contributing to this, you know, impact quality of life that can be sometimes even half the month for many women. So yeah, I mean, what do you see as far as how to support women through that and how to sort of reduce some of these symptoms for women?
Yeah. So first I have an assessment. Is it ruining your quality of life? Like, can you live with it? Like, how bad is it? So if it's really affecting their quality of life, then absolutely that needs to be attended to. If it's just little nuances that they forget about, then I mean, I'm happy to address it, but it's probably fairly normal and okay, but it's when it's really, they're really having issues. I see quite a bit hormonal migraines right before a period, and that's triggered from that huge shift in hormones, the complete drop. So that's really common, and that's something that would be an example. It's really affecting quality of life if you can't work you have a headache. I think that's a really big deal. And sometimes you see rapid, sometimes very severe mood swings. So that would be, there's actually a name for it, PMDD, premenstrual dysmorphic disorder. That's serotonin's completely affected by this whole hormone cycle. And sometimes you need some more attention and even medication in this instance. Subtle things like abdominal cramping and stuff and tender breasts, those are all things that can be totally managed with lifestyle medicine and a few key supplements when indicated. So what do you see in your practice?
Oh my goodness, 100%. I mean, I feel like you just put an exclamation point on our practice style. It's like, it's like recognizing that, you know, is there a fire to put out? Like, is there a concern here? Are these symptoms to the point where it is quality of life or, you know, a person is ending up on the bathroom floor every month, you know, with severe cramping or severe discomfort, or I can't get out of bed because of, you know, massive depressive episodes. So, you know, we do want to recognize and make sure, you know, in our medicine, we call first do no harm, and accepting that, you know, or recognizing, is there anything that needs to be addressed more from a deeper medical perspective, both naturopathically in assessment and conventionally as well, time and place. But I think, you know, what we're talking about and what most people can really understand and you know, connect with is the kind of quality of life, the kind of lifestyle component in it, in that. And I think if we take a step back and we look at it and we look at it more from like a natural evolution, is our body's giving us messages. So if we're feeling really tired during a bleed phase, it's like, well, of course, we're literally like losing blood. we're losing nutrients. We are in a deficient state. I mean, you and I both are also trained in Chinese medicine, right? And so there's a deficiency at that time. So is that the time where we're expecting ourselves to be, you know, going for a hard run, or expecting ourselves to, you know, show up and, you know, high performance at a meeting? But yet we do. So we push ourselves beyond. And I get it. Life happens. I mean, we can't all schedule our meetings or our first dates around our ovulation window.
No, we cannot.
That'd be amazing. But I think, you know, but it is that ability to understand and create that empowerment of like, oh, right, I'm in the luteal phase. I am going to, because of this phase and because of the hormone, not because I'm a bad person that can't control and can't eat the same all month long, but because of this time, I am going to actually, in preparation for the uterine lining bleed or the deficiency stage, I'm going to be more hungry. My metabolism may increase. I may actually be needing more sugar and salt. But then instead of ignoring that message and saying, no, I'm on a, you know, I'm following a macronutrient, you know, ketogenic diet, we ignore it, and then we end up eating the whole bag of chips. You know, everyone out there knows we agree with some chips every day, right?
Yes,
the whole bag of chips. Or, you know, we're doing these things that then aggravate the symptoms because now we're dealing with extra water retention. So I will often say to patients, you know, in as part of their PM, like, please increase your good quality carbohydrates during this time. Add some sea salt to your water. You know, shift your movement to be more gentle, kind of, you know, ensuring that you're not getting that stagnant, heavy energy. So it's like, in doing that, we're not trying to override the PMS window, but we're trying to be able to support ourselves so the symptoms are manageable.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a few key things that I like. The menstrual cycle, it's basically, it's kind of a picture of our health at that time, I mm-hmm. find. So mm-hmm. when people are having severe caloric deficits, they'll often lose a period, amenorrhea, and that tells you something, right? So, mm-hmm. or a really late ovulation can give you a little bit of information too. So mm-hmm. when you think about it, progesterone has the same cholesterol background as cortisol. So, mm-hmm. so when people are really stressed, it can actually, the progesterone is being poached from to produce more cortisol. So that can absolutely affect your cycle too. So it's like a beautiful kind of song that can be out of, it can shift, all the hormones speak to each other, and it can really, just listening to the subtleties can give you some information without even doing any blood work. It can give you information of what's going on with your hormones. So it's a fun area for me.
Yeah. And I absolutely, you know, I absolutely connect with what you're talking about, which is, again, so much about what I appreciate about our approach to people's health is we're also looking behind the scenes. So yes, the PMS is, you know, presenting in a certain way. And then we're understanding, okay, exactly as you mentioned, well, based on conversation, based on symptoms, before we even look at diagnostics, you know, blood work or saliva hormone, et cetera, we're saying, okay, well, what's your stress? Is there a possibility that, exactly as you said, you know, progesterone, cortisol is getting made, so your progesterone isn't rising during that window? Is there, you know, maybe something going on with suboptimal liver function? So you're not able to metabolize mm-hmm. the estrogen, and therefore you're ending up with estrogen dominant like symptoms. So we don't just address the PMS or the hormones. Often when I'm working with patients, I'm talking liver, adrenal, you know, lifestyle management. I'm talking about all of those things before I'm even looking at, okay, and maybe look at this supplement to increase progesterone, right?
Yeah. And estrogen dominance. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really, even constipation, not cause estrogen dominance, mm-hmm. but estrogen is evacuated through your bowels. And if you're not pooping regularly, right, that can contribute. And people just don't make that connection because they didn't know. So
yeah,
it's so connected.
These hormones have to get out of the body, right? We make, you know, in our society, there is a reality, right? Like we are going to be getting these xenoestrogens in. So, you know, really that's, you know, I don't want to oversimplify, but I don't want to, you know, create too much, don't want to make it too complex either. I mean, at the end of the day, we're trying to balance these hormones at specific times of the months and really relative to one another, estrogen relative to progesterone. And so you can end up with deficiencies and you can end up with excesses. And one of the main reasons, like you said, is if our body can't get rid of them. So we're going to take in estrogen, or unfortunately just living in the society we do in. And, you know, yeah, I am, you know, like it would be lovely to never have exposure to those things. But the reality is that there are going to be exposures. So it's really about, well, how do we ensure the body is dealing with it? And as you said, you know, making sure you're going to the bathroom every day, and something as simplistic as adding lemon water, or, you know, maybe using some different forms of fiber like ground flaxseed. These things can be very gentle, but very effective in, you know, how your PMS window shows up. So it's not just about PMS, it's the whole month. And then we look at the PMS as, you know, often we just focus on that. But if you aren't detoxifying through the month, or you're not going to the bathroom through the month, your PMS is likely going to be worse.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I just want to put a special highlight on crushed flaxseed. I swear I prescribe it to so many people, and it's so hard to comply with because the therapeutic dose is 2 to 4 tablespoons, which is a lot.
You guys, how do you get that in people? What is your suggestion?
So it changes the flavor of a smoothie. So
And you got to drink that quick.
I say just put it in water down the hatch, treat it like a medication. Or sprinkle it all day on things. Just constantly sprinkle your flaxseed. And I will admit, I have troubles with compliance with people, but it does so much. It helps with cholesterol. It helps with bowel movements. It helps with estrogen dominance. It helps with weight management and blood sugar regulation, and even certain cancer prevention. So because it does everything, I always prescribe it. But yeah, compliance is low, I'll be honest with you.
And be kind to yourself around starting with half a tablespoon and slowly working up, and recognizing that, yes, the dosing is the dosing, but, you know, we can work towards that. It almost like a little broom. It goes through and just kind of sweeps things and takes care of things. My visual for ground flaxseed. Yeah,
totally. But it does go rancid, and I always get grossed out at Bulk Barn when you have that huge bin of crushed flaxseed that's been there for probably a year. It's like, that is some rancid, toxic stuff.
I think that's a good sidebar, because, you know, I do think we want to buy it small sized, vacuum sealed, as soon as we open it, get it in the fridge, or do it yourself. Like, it's a coffee grinder. You know, most of us can't do it as needed the day of, but, you know, make it in batches, throw it in, and make sure you're storing it in the fridge to make sure. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Don't buy your flaxseed from the big bin at Bulk Barn.
I just wanted to talk about another favorite supplement that I actually also recommend to most people, is magnesium. And how it can help with cramping and pain, but also it's one of it's so hard to get in our foods. Our soil is so depleted. Even the most beautiful organic fruits and vegetables, the soil is depleted. It's really hard to get magnesium. And I think just for PMS, it's one of the big guys. You do have to watch. It can work as an osmotic laxative and cause diarrhea, but there's special forms that you can take that are better tolerated.
And dosing is key, right? Finding out that titration and dosing is key, and dosing changing through the month. Like, that's the other, again, not only with, we're talking food and we're talking exercise, but even supplementation, you know, maybe switching, needing a little bit more in the luteal phase leading up to the period, again, assuming that you're not managing loose stool during that time, but then maybe backing off and not needing it at other points.
Yeah. And you know what, now is bath season. It's cold. Yes. And I realize not everyone's a bath person, but that's another way to get magnesium transdermally through your skin. Another thing though is therapeutic dose. A lot of people don't know that you need 2 to 4 cups. So you'll go to like Winners and they have like those little, I don't know, wooden tablespoons, essential oil infused Epsom salt. It does nothing. You need 2 to 4 cups. So I'm talking like a liter of Epsom salt.
For sure. You're kind of floating in the bath. sure.
Yeah. But I find that can really help with PMS symptoms too.
Those are great you know, tips. And I wanted to touch on and maybe even leave the conversation with something you and I talk a lot about with this, the therapeutic order. And so like you mentioned, time. You know, medications, different types of support. But I think, you know, why I appreciate and why, you know, this methodology works so well is it does walk us through the steps, right? So it is that recognition, like you talked about today, which is like, start with some flaxseed, start with understanding your cycle, right? If you're listening to this and you're like, I actually don't even know where I'm at, then, you know, there's tons of apps and pay attention not only to your flow window, like when you're bleeding, but also when you're ovulating, and start to think of the cycle, not as, you know, one big 28 or 32 or, you know, cycle, think of it as the first half and the second half, and start to understand and listen to your body's needs and how your body responds to your certain behaviors at different times of the month. Then we move into, okay, you know, through lifestyle, can I adjust things? Well, maybe through some dietary, and I always call these things sort of the functional foods, right? The flax seeds, the lemon water, the things that aren't necessarily a supplement, but can definitely offer, you know, offer the support. You know, and I think it's like moving up that ladder. So it doesn't mean that we don't turn to medications, but I think it's a pain point for me. You know, there's a point to this conversation is there's a pain point to me around sort of, oh, a woman has PMS or maybe has hormonal symptoms and it's, oh, birth control, right? Or antidepressant. You're not coping, right. Antidepressant. And again, you know, if you know me, you know, I'm integrated, like time and place for everything. But can we at least walk through the steps and understand before we jump to that? And even in your case, I mean, Dr. Rochelle is a prescribing naturopathic doctor, so bioidentical hormone. But I know you wouldn't meet a patient suffering with PMS symptoms and say, okay, let's do bioidentical hormone.
Therapeutic order. Start with the simple.
We move through. And I know even, I mean, whatever, how many years, like 18 years in practice, people exactly like that will come back and be like, I started the magnesium and the flaxseed and everything is better. And even I'm like, really?
And Dr. Christie, I just want to deviate slightly. Just talking about the birth control pill, I think people think in quotations it regulates their period. That's not a period. That's a withdrawal bleed. That is not a period. Yes. It can worsen insulin resistance. It can shrink your ovaries by 30% the time you're taking it. I'm all for empowerment of women and birth control. Like, don't get me wrong. I've been on birth control for like 10 years. I don't know you, your personal history, Dr. Christie. So there's a time and place, but just recognize it is not a period. It is not balancing your cycle. You may be getting rid of some of the symptoms, but you're just covering it up, right? Like there's reasons that can be addressed naturally. So not always, but I just wanted to point out that point about birth control pills.
Again, so much in alignment and agreement and kind of coming full circle, like our hormones can and are our superpower. And so when we're baselining it and we're not actually getting that feedback loop and we're not getting, you know, the shifts, it's like there are like seasons or parts of the monthly cycle, or there are parts of a woman's, you know, reproductive journey, you know, in perimenopause, menopause. And I will often say, you know, these are opportunities. We become more creative in the flow cycle. We're often more reflective. And so there's energetics in all of this. You know, it is the mind, body, and the soul, and there's energetics. And if we're not able to connect with a deeper sense of self, then, you know, we may be robbing ourselves of that empowerment, you know, as we move through. And from a societal perspective, whether it is PMS, I have to really even catch myself. And even now, probably people will call me out on the podcast, is not sort of almost harming or using harmful energy behind, well, I'm a perimenopausal woman, or, oh, don't worry about me over here, I'm just PMSing. Wait a second, you know, like really watch your language and understand, oh, I'm in a window where my luteal phase is, or I'm in a window where my progesterone levels are dropping. So I'm feeling a little bit more vulnerable today, allowing yourself to not, you know, not be a victim of, but understand that it is part of how we cycle and part of what empowers us as women.
Yeah.
So that's my end point in all of that. So yeah.
I love that. Yes. Yeah. I guess my end point, just some really simple things like balancing your blood sugar during that PMS window, which is your latter luteal phase. So making sure you have protein. And with all your meals, just protein can really help. So something like that, staying hydrated, those kind of things, like simple lifestyle things, getting out to exercise, like going for a walk, those can all be helpful. Epsom salt bath, big fan. So that as well with my 2 to 4 cups. So just a few things like that. Like we said, the therapeutic order, there's more things that you can do. There's some hormonal modulating supplements or bioidentical hormones, but that needs to be assessed whether somebody's a candidate. The simple things usually do work.
100%. And, you know, we jump to, going to your medical doctor or having your medical doctor prescribe, but the same can be true walking into a health food store and finding sort of a one size fits all hormone supplement or hormone support. I don't agree with that. I think, again, it may be there. That might be the wonderful thing to help rebalance and bring back quality of life and have you suffering less. But let's start with the basics. So
for sure.
Yep. Same page as per usual, Dr. Michelle.
Yes.
Well, until next time. And if anyone ever wants to reach out, if you have ideas for shows that you want to hear about, if you have any questions, by all means. And as sort of a sidebar to this in particular episode, Dr. Michelle and I do run small group sessions. We are planning one most likely later in this year, closer to late spring. And it is all about this hormone harmony. There's also, if you jump over to drchristylewis.ca, there's a shop page, and in there, basically it's this plus a order, creating context, understand through interactive manual and recordings. So, you know, if this resonated with you and you wanted to learn more about it, just keep your eyes open for that. Or again, reach out to us directly.
Yeah, you don't need to suffer any longer.
You don't need to suffer and you don't need to suppress.
Yes.
Boom.
Boom. Boom. Boom. End it there. All right, Dr.
Okay. Christy.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode of In Between Visits. I'm just so excited that you're tuning in and, you know, really connecting with these incredible experts that I have on the show these days. You know, everyone who has sharing their wisdom around lifestyle medicine and supporting you on your health journey. Guess what? I have a new partner. Cardish Health Food Center is sponsoring In Between Visits. Cardish is a locally owned and operated health food store in Ottawa. They've got 7 locations and their staff is just super dedicated and committed to helping you find the right products that you're looking for. Whether it's supplements or groceries or beauty products, they've got it. And if you're looking for more information about, you know, what Cardish store is in your neighborhood, you can visit www.cardish.com. Keep listening because Cardish is going to be offering up some pretty awesome giveaways and information. We're going to be partnering up for some webinars, and really our intent is to, you know, continue to help you on your journey towards ultimate happiness and health. Thanks so much, guys.